Hello, and welcome to the Digital Health Leader Podcast, a Chime membership series where we bring you the best of the best in digital health leadership. I'm Russ Branzell, your host for this podcast and the president and CEO of Chime, the College of Healthcare Information Management Executives. Join me as we celebrate the digital health leaders who are forging new paths, coming up with new inspirational ideas, and shaping an industry for the better. These leaders across the industry have proven their talent and determination as they innovate and transform their organizations to meet the moment and shape the future. We're proud to know those leaders and support them here at Chime. Today, we welcome two incredible leaders into the Chime podcast booth. Both are very recent graduates of the Chime Bootcamp program. First, we'll introduce a lady who has started her career as an emergency room nurse at Genesis Health System. She later served as a clinical nursing informatics specialist, continuing to innovate and transform and learn alongside the best in the business. She now serves as the portfolio manager at Oracle. We welcome Maureen Nyland to the podcast. Welcome this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Russ. I appreciate it.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. And sitting right next to you, one of those great personalities in our industry, we refer to him as a digital health evangelist who brings more than 15 years of healthcare and technology experience driving growth and innovation. He is passionate about driving business growth and value creation through innovation, collaboration, and customer centricity. He has served in the industry as a chief executive officer for Health Novation and later executive vice president and CIO of global growth and business development at Rego Consulting. He is an amazing leader. The thing I love most about him is I'm usually one of his selfies at some point during the year, amongst many other things. I am so pleased to welcome the Senior Vice President of Digital Strategy and Innovation at Northeast Georgia Health System, Mike Mosquito. Welcome to the program, Mike.
Glad to be here, Russ. Glad to be here.
Hey, you two are both coming off the boot camp where you successfully passed one of the most rigorous 3 days in healthcare technology training out there in leadership development. Tell us a little bit about the program, Maureen.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start. I think I came in not having a specific set of expectations and was blown away by what I saw, what I felt, what I heard. It was just on all levels more than I would have ever expected to be able to participate in. The like minds in the room, the desire to want to move forward and inspire others, I can't wait to take this back.
Awesome. Well, you know, Mike, you've been doing this a little bit longer than Maureen, but, you know, it's interesting when we have somebody that's maybe a little bit longer in their career. You're still a youngin', but a little bit longer in their career to go into a program. What was it like for you?
For me, I think it was getting to see those colleagues that have been in the industry with me for quite some time actually reflect personally on their journey through healthcare and healthcare IT. And so for me, you know, usually when you're sitting in a room with your colleagues, you're not getting that personal touch all the time in a class that size. And I think for you to be able to sit, get some mentorship and be able to learn about their journey, it gives you another gear to go into. And for me, that's what it provided.
All right. Well, you're usually already on turbo drive, so I'm not sure what that next gear is going to be like. I look forward to seeing that in North Georgia there with you, buddy. So Maureen, you know, not maybe on the personal side, maybe on the professional side with this program, what was your big takeaway? What's that one little nugget of wisdom that you're going to go back and it's just going to kind of harness it inside you for fuel?
I think the life-changing moment for me was realizing that healthcare as we know it today can't be the healthcare that we're going to carry forward tomorrow. And so being able to evangelize that and look for ways to innovate, truly innovate and look for ways to advocate for change, for being able to see the future, not how things are today. And that in and of itself, I hope will inspire others then to want to grow their career professionally and just be able to pass that along. I was fortunate that I had two predecessors, both leaders had been through the boot camp before and had said, this is wonderful. So they passed that along to me, and now I'm going to get the opportunity to pay it forward at some point.
Oh, that's awesome. What about you, Mike? I watched you in the class. It was a bit of a challenge at times. So what do you think?
No, I think that challenge is about how do you sit and take this information. And again, like Maureen said, pay it forward. I'm mentoring other young folks to come into this industry and making sure that they understand that this is not an easy journey, but it's a necessary journey. For all of us, healthcare is important. And the innovation that occurs and the challenges that we face are going to be consumed by all of us. And so for those leaders in that room, that 50 plus leaders that we had this week, they were challenged with, what are you going to do when you leave here? That was our capstone. When you leave here, what are you going to go do to make change? And I think that's paramount in going to any like-minded group. You hear the same consistency of words, but then when you lead, what do you do with those words? Where do you take them? And how do you influence the industry and those around you?
Well, let's jump a little deep into, obviously it was not all just leadership and motivation, though hopefully it was a lot of that for you in the program. Let's jump into a couple topics here that really seem to be relevant. And as we're here at the Chime Fall Forum, will really be some discussion items for a lot of our leaders as we're trying to figure out how to leverage some of that new kind of revolutionary technology that's out there. Mm-hmm. Although telemedicine really isn't new, it seems to have found a new life. It seems to, post-COVID, it kind of came back down, but now it's really kind of emerging back as a real primary way to engage consumers. What do you think this looks like for our industry when it's, as you talked about, Maureen, challenging the status quo of traditional healthcare? So what do you think telemedicine, remote care, remote sitting, all these things, you are a nurse, you know what this means for disruption in care. What do you think about this?
I think it's going to challenge the way that our patients interact with us and that we interact with them. It's hopefully, we talk a lot about health equity, but I don't know that we've ever formalized a plan around how we're going to bring that to action. And having those social drivers that we know that there's the disparities out there, telemedicine is an opportunity to capture some of those and bring those in closer so that way those patients that don't have the type of access they need can actually see the provider, receive the care that they deserve. I'm excited about continuing to expand the concept of telemedicine. And I'm really excited to hear more about how we might be able to do more remote patient monitoring or even just have patients receive medical care in their home and not have to go into a hospital to receive it. Better patient outcomes is always the goal.
So Mike, I'll use a little bit of a sports metaphor here for you because I know you're a big sports guy. And does this level the playing field? Does everybody have a chance to win? Or is this actually going to create more of a digital divide for those that have and have nots? How do you think this is going to affect our kind of the delivery of care?
I think we have to be very careful for those underserved communities because we have to address not only, you know, having this telemedine opportunity, but do we have the infrastructure there? Are we addressing that infrastructure? Do we have physicians on the other side of that telemedicine connection to actually facilitate those underserved communities? Because we've got these communities in rural areas around the country that don't have the knowledge, the emissaries to go out to the community to educate, so that education is not there. So there's a lot of steps to saying that telemedicine is now a level playing field because we're still not serving those communities the way we should. And the social determinants of care need to be balanced.
Hey, coming back to you, Maureen, on that, what else do you think about this?
Yeah, so as you were talking, Mike, it just really connected for me that yes, all of those pieces and parts aren't yet assembled. And one of the things that we're doing better, but not great, is preventative care. So especially for those underserved communities, those areas that don't have the ability to provide a provider in a smaller rural place, telemedicine is an opportunity then to prevent that. Instead of just it always being an acute treatment like we're primarily using it now, let's look at this for leveraging the potential to prevent any future issues for that patient.
Well, you know, one of the other things that really has emerged, I mean, if you think about it, well, maybe 12, definitely not 18 months ago, We didn't even know what a ChatGPT was. I mean, it sounds like something weird from like a kid's cartoon or something. Now it's like part of our axiom of life. It's just what we breathe every minute. We have this AI stuff everywhere. And it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's come out of nowhere because we know it's been there for a while, but at least its impact on healthcare has really kind of emerged very, very fast. Maybe that's an attribute of this next revolutionary level of technology that's here. And we talked about that in class. Some of those really smart leaders that teach the program talked about this. How do you think this is going to either positively or maybe even negatively affect kind of healthcare as we move forward? We'll start with you this time, Mike. Put you on the spot first.
Well, I think AI is one of those. It showed up on the scene as a hot buzzword, like the internet did some time ago, right? And it had fast adoption. And that adoption lit a fire under the IT industry and healthcare. Healthcare IT started saying, look what we can do with AI. Now there's another side of that. Again, this is a child that's growing and it's learning. And if we don't clean up what it's learning, we just create a bigger mess that gets out there faster. So I think there's opportunities for AI to transform healthcare, but we have to be cognizant of what we're using it for, how we're using it. And it's not a solution for providing care to patients, but it's going to augment what our physicians are doing in the healthcare setting. And it's going to create efficiencies within the processes, within the hospital, within our IT departments, within the operations in our home, and the connectivity that we'll have between that AI bot and those systems that are using that technology.
So you were a nurse, I guess once a nurse, always a nurse. Mm-hmm. Kind of like being a Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine, once a nurse, always a nurse. So as a clinician, when you think about this, it's always been a human being business.
Yeah.
It's one nurse to one patient. It's just that intimate relationship. Now, all of a sudden, this mysterious new entity called AI is going to be an active part of this relationship. What do you think that means to you as a nurse, as a caregiver, deep in your core, in that relationship that's there?
I think it's an emphasis on where you place your trust. And I want patients to still recognize that although this is powerful technology, I would throw a lot of caution at what you put in there and expect to receive out. And it harkens me back to when, as you had said before, when the internet first popped up, there's a lot of WebMD searches. There's a lot of Google searches based off of symptomology. I would hope that although it's perfectly fine to go out there and be proactive with your care and search it out, that that doesn't become your primary source of truth. You still need that human touch to provide you guidance and to be also emotional support, because whether or not whatever ChatGPT or Google spits out at you, you still need that somebody that can help guide you through that and really hold your hand. And I think that in the end, as a nurse, that is still going to be needed. We all need each other. Being human is exactly the best part of what we are.
It was interesting. I stepped into one of the other leadership events going on yesterday, and there was a leader from McKinsey in there, and she was talking about this, and she said, ChatGPT has the potential to be the smartest thing we've ever seen in the history of humanity, and the stupidest all mm-hmm. at the exact mm-hmm. same moment, and sometimes in the same mm-hmm. sentence. But what's interesting is one of the other things she said is, what if we can take all the garbage away from a nurse, a doctor, administrator, doesn't matter, and let them just do their real job? And I was just thinking about that. Matter of fact, one of your instructors, Teresa Meadows, mm-hmm. was on the podcast a while back, and I asked her a really hard question. And I said, Teresa, if we do our job really, really well for the next 3 years, just give us 36 months, can we actually eliminate dictation, transcription, and documentation for nurses and doctors? I said, eliminate, meaning AI, ambient voice, all this stuff. And a nurse actually is just a nurse.
Yeah.
Could you imagine mm-hmm. the smiles on nurses and doctors' face? And I saw not for the first time, because I've known her for a long time, but the beam on her face of dreaming a world like that. And she said, we can do that if we can just get people to be willing to change a little. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about that? You think we can radically change? I mean, think about that. What if you two are the people that are going to figure out how to get rid of documentation? Not that it's not in a computer and mineable, right, but that somebody doesn't have to type or, oh God forbid, handwrite something in today's world. What do you think? Come on.
I love it. I think one of the reasons that we all go into nursing isn't to spend time in front of a computer. It's to actually be present in the moment with that patient. So if you can eliminate all of that waste, take away the things that aren't adding any value to that time with the patient, let's do it.
Wow. What do you think?
I think it's already happening in other industries. I think we need to learn from these other industries that have already adopted and adapted to AI in their business. And we're just another evolutionary industry that's going to adapt. We're already using it in our homes. We don't write down our list anymore. We talk to that magic box in our homes, and then on our phone shows up that list. And I think dictation, all of the mundane tasks are going to be eliminated through the use of these technologies in the healthcare setting. So I know there's hope. I've already seen it.
Well, let's shift to a different subject. And I've been doing this boot camp program, it's hard to believe, for 20 years. And you know, probably 90% of people walking around this event at some point were in one of these programs. But I, for the first time in 20 years, had one of the most epiphic moments I ever had at the end of the program yesterday. And I sat there and I started counting people in the room. And having ran just about every one of these programs, it came to me that yesterday was the most diverse class in the history of the boot camp. Now, I don't have the exact statistics, but without a doubt, visually it was. And I know for a fact, for the first time in 20 years, there were more women in the class than men. Mm-hmm. And well, you can't see it for our listeners, but Maureen's smiling really well. But you know what's interesting is I don't think anybody had caught this. And obviously we have at least 50% of everyone, our faculty, are women. And I turned to look to them and I said this to them, and they all kind of paused for a moment and looked around the room with this moment of, I don't know if it was pride or at least introspection, to go, wow, the world is different. We'd have programs in the past where we'd have two women in the class. And then I did a second look around and I went, there is a lot of minorities in here as well. And I don't know the exact number, mm-hmm. but I was like, there is far more than what's representative in the industry. And it was, I don't know if, again, if it was this moment of self-pride or at the same time of going, wow, maybe we got something a little bit right here. What do you all think? Because I know you all notice these things. Yes. And sometimes us that are so busy running a program, we forget to this. It was actually mentioned in a couple of the report outs. Mike, what do you think?
I think you heard it in the report outs twice. Two of my other colleagues in there mentioned that they were going back and advocate for coming to boot camp. What I've seen is something that I've never seen before. I'm sitting in a room of people that look like me, people that believe like me, and that want to change this industry. And Kat, who closed the day out for us, said, I'm purposeful for being here because I see me in this room. I'm supposed to be here. And I agree with that. For me being in this industry, as you said, Russ, I've been here a while. I've been in this industry a while. I remember walking into a room after an event in Atlanta with another colleague, an African-American colleague, and he and I were the only two in a room of about 1,500 people. I've been in that day. That day has transformed into now I've got women, other African-Americans. The mix is starting to look so much better for us to collaborate.
Yeah, it was something pretty special. Maureen, what about you? You still haven't stopped smiling since I just mentioned this thing.
I know. I just feel like it's been such a long time coming. And again, diversity should be something that we have encouraged. We bring our whole selves to the table when we have people that have a common goal, but don't necessarily have a common background. And that's where the magic happens. So to be able to have people of different genders, have people of different nationalities, have people of different skin colors, it's wonderful. I don't know how else to put it in any other word, but wonderful.
So how do we carry this back? And not just from an internalization to your teams, how do we internalize this to where, I mean, I don't think we're going to be able to get rid of every health inequity. No. And how do we just use this as a bit of a catalyst to create maybe a little bit more level playing field out there for those, especially those seeking care?
Yeah, I think you have to showcase it, right? It's not seen. I think when we go into healthcare settings and you don't see people that look like you, you don't trust. And this is back to trust. I mean, we talked about that this week. You have to create trust with your patients and what they see in their doctors and nurses and within those facilities. And so Chime is, they've done something this week that we haven't seen in other programs, which is bring that equity for women and minorities into a room to collaborate together. And it has to, going forward, I think it's taking that image of us together. You have plenty of pictures of this us this week. You two should be in this room. You should be promoting this. This is where you belong. Don't sit in your office cubicle or at home and doubt where you should be to share your talents with this industry.
Yeah. Marie?
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. I think it's shine the light. Take the shadows away and just recognize that you, like you said, you belong there. If you have the desire to contribute to something, there should be nothing that should limit you. Go for it and get in there.
Well, we were absolutely thrilled, and I don't like using the word pride very often, but pride, very proud that you all were part of this program this week. It was obviously a special thing, but every professional journey has different steps, and you're both in different places, different jobs, different organizations, and kind of thinking about that professional journey, you didn't let it sit still for less than 24 hours, where immediately this morning, bright and early, before the sun came up, you were sitting in a room doing that next step, which was getting a professional certification, a credential to carry with you. Why was that important for you all? After a tiring 3-day boot camp, you get up still bright and early in the morning and go take a certification. Why do you want a certification like this?
It gives you a sense of legitimacy. At the end of the day, I was telling Mike as we wrapped up and we were on our way down here to visit with you, I said, you know, if I pass, great. If I fail, that's okay too. In the end, even if I pass, my work doesn't stop. I'm still going to keep educating myself. I'm going to still continue to develop the skills I don't have, and I'm going to continue to polish the ones that I do. So it's about the personal sense of accomplishment. It's the legitimacy within your peer group. But in the end, it's the piece of paper. It doesn't change anything. You've got to keep evolving.
Well, it's funny. We never use one of the words you use there. You either passed or you have the privilege to take the exam again.
Yes. I like that. I'm going to use that.
Mike, both of you were your normal smiley faces, even at 7 this morning. Yeah. But what about you? Why does this professional credential mean something to you?
I'm a lifelong learner. For me, this is about sitting and understanding other parameters around my career, that I've taken, and sitting in a room. And again, Maureen's right, legitimizing what I've done with this cert. And this gives me one, education, introspect into me, where I can focus on some new talents. I mean, for those out there that haven't done this, I promise you, it's going to be a benefit to you personally and professionally, because you will get to see things, understand, and be educated on a level that you're not going to get in your day-to-day job. You just can't, because you don't have those experiences that you've lived through, and you're going to get that inside this class. So for me, I received something this week that I get to take forward. That piece of paper is checking a box.
Well, I'm going to look forward to making that phone call, because one of the few privileges that really get me going every single day is I get to call every single person that's passed one of our certifications to let them know. So when you see that phone number that's mine, I'm not going to give it to everybody in the world here, but please answer on that. Well, Maureen, Mike, it has been such a pleasure to be a small part of your amazing professional career and journey. But thank you again, especially for today, for being on this podcast program.
Thank you so much everything you've done.
Well, we'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for joining us for this episode of the Chime Digital Health Leader Podcast. As always, you can visit us on chimecentral.org/media or on Spotify to listen to this and all these amazing healthcare leaders. Continue to innovate, transform, and create positive change to advance and improve health and care throughout the communities you serve. For now, stay safe and God bless. Well, as you know, we just completed this podcast recording, but news is just in, and I thought I'd take this opportunity to make a little announcement here. We have not just 2 boot camp graduates, but we now have 2 people that have successfully passed their certifications exams. Maureen, Mike, congratulations on being our newest certified members. They are hugging. I think there's a few tears coming out as we speak. We've never got to do this before. So to my dear friends here, thank you for being such a great part of our program. And with that being said, what does it feel like to now be professionally certified with a credential? Maureen, I'm sorry, we don't have any Kleenex in this room, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Oh my gosh, I'm just, I went back to my room last night and I shared the certificate that you handed to all of us for graduating boot camp. And I showed that to my husband and I said, this might mean more to me than any other certification or licensure I've ever had before. So it was the experience and also the people that made that so worth it. And now to have this certification, it's like, it's icing on the cake. It really is. So thank you so much. I mean, you have no idea the way that you have touched people's lives, and certainly you've touched mine. And I hope that I can inspire others to be able to do this program as well.
Awesome. Well, Mike Mosquito, now board certified through CHIME, buddy. What do you think?
This is incredible. I mean, like Maureen, I actually sat that certificate under my TV, didn't turn my TV on last night. When I woke up this morning, that was staring at me. I've been through boot camp. This was a boot camp that you just can't give to everybody. They have to experience it.
There you go.
And so I've experienced it, and it's something I can take and encourage folks to come back and do, because it does change you. It changes you. Whatever you've gone through before, it's therapeutic for your career and your journey. And I think that, you know, I'll know Maureen forever now. This lady
I know.
It's transformational for you.
Well, to our listeners, we're going to reclose this out again, but now I'm sitting in front of not just two boot camp graduates, but two professionally certified, wonderful leaders. Hey, again, thanks to being our listeners. Take care.